Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, say it with me now. Say it with me now. President Donald J. Trump. Oh, my goodness. Aaron Flint here broadcasting live from the Rockin' R in Bozeman. You should see the trash trucks driving up and down Main Street in Bozeman here with their Trump Vance signs, with their Sheehy signs and everything. Man, people are just out there celebrating. I'm sure the same thing is happening in your neck of the woods. John Jackson, the Joker from X, back in studio with us as well. And we're going to have some great guests join us here this morning from Bozeman. But John, I think you just sent me a tweet here. Did they officially call the Pennsylvania Senate race for McCormick now as well?
People online are calling it. Now, whether or not the August Airlines or the August people in our mainstream media have actually called it, I don't know. But it looks like it has flipped. Yeah, it looks like Dave McCormick has won that seat.
Yeah, that's remarkable. Well, for our friends just joining us here from Great Falls to the Flathead County must have come in huge. Must have just come in huge because about mid-morning, you know, what was it, about like, you know, 2:30 in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, the numbers looked very tight in the Western Congressional District between Democrat Monica Tranel and Republican Congressman Ryan Zinke. And I kept telling everybody, they were asking me on X, they said, well, hey, what about Zinke? How's Zinke looking? Well, he has got big numbers. He's been declared the winner there. Flathead County must have come big because those numbers were tight at like 2:30 in the morning. And now, I mean, Zinke has got, let's see here. He came in with, I just had it in front of me, something like, I'll find the exact numbers for you. But yeah, he just came in big for that Western Congressional District race.
I don't know if you've seen the news this morning, but Nancy Pelosi just took the podium this morning at her morning news conference, and she just came out and said there's no point in saying good morning this morning because it certainly is not. And I tell you something, Aaron, if this goes more than 4 hours, I'm going to have to see my doctor. I mean, I really am.
Yeah, we got Jake Eaton, you know, campaign manager of three successful statewide campaigns last night, the campaign manager for Governor Greg Gianforte, the campaign manager for the best attorney general in the country, Austin Knutson, and Susie Hedlin with an outstanding victory for superintendent of public instruction. Jake, where do you want to start, man?
Well, I guess, you know, the place to start is in the one that called first, right? I mean, you know, Governor Gianforte has built an amazing record, and there's no doubt about it. I think we are really proud of the race we ran. But, I mean, I think really all the credit to why we were able to get this race called at three minutes after the polls closed goes to Ryan Bussey. You know, like, he's literally the worst candidate to run for office in Montana in the last 20 years. And if we would have not have had such a terrible opponent, it might have taken 20 or 30 minutes for him to call that race.
Fussy Bussy Ryan Bussey, and then his campaign manager was a longtime staffer to John Tester. Yeah, their race was called at 8:03, and then he sends out a tweet. Resist!
Yeah, like 12:30 is like 40% of the vote, and he's losing by 22 points. He's like, resist!
What was that?
I mean, I thought they were going to maybe storm the armory.
U.S. Central Command has announced that since the last week of August, it has conducted almost 100 operations against ISIS operatives in Syria, which has led to the killing of more than 160 terrorists and the capture of over 30 more. CENTCOM Commander General Eric Carrillo releasing a statement reading in part that, quote, we will continue to aggressively pursue these terrorists and disrupt their capability to conduct operations against U.S. interests as well as those of our allies and partners. Pentagon Press Secretary Major General Patrick Ryder spoke about Middle East security during a briefing Monday.
Secretary Austin continues to make clear that should Iran, its partners, or its proxies use this moment to target American personnel or interests in the region, the United States will take every measure necessary to defend our people.
CENTCOM leadership says the U.S. actions have also seized significant enemy material that will also disrupt potential future attacks. Kevin Gretzky, Fox News.
Fox on set.
A high-tech crime-fighting tool is joining the Las Vegas Metro Police Department. It is a robotic dog that police say has the potential to save lives of both its officers and their canine partners. About the size of a golden retriever and built by Boston Dynamics, they haven't given it a name just yet, but just like a puppy, it is in training and can already do all sorts of impressive tricks. With its snake-like head that functions as an arm, it can fetch. And with a command sent via a tablet controller, it can spin. And unlike real dogs, it can see in darkness. Its tail is made up of a system of 360-degree cameras, including infrared. But like a real police dog, RoboDog can detect things like explosives. RoboDog's main job is SWAT operations and to go in first during standoffs, protecting the lives of officers and the real canines. With Fox on Tech, I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
This is House Call for Health. The pandemic is over, but new research finds Americans are still spending most of their time at home, almost an hour less each day doing things outside the house. The study analyzed data from 34,000 Americans who took part in the American Time Use Survey. Researchers found that besides just being in a post-pandemic era, improvements in information technology have made everyday tasks outside the home, like shopping and watching movies, easier to do from home. Because many people bought home gym equipment during the pandemic, it's easier to exercise under their own roof, too. And the trend of spending less time out of home stretches back to at least 2003. The study was conducted by a team of urban planners from the University of Los Angeles, UCLA, and Clemson University, South Carolina, published in the Journal of the American Planning Association. They're recommending changes, including repurposing more office and retail space. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
He not only ran three successful statewide campaigns yesterday, but he's also a conservative political consultant, but more importantly, a Montana Talks guest host on occasion.
That's right.
Jake Eaton in the house. So Matt Desch with KJJR Radio just gave me the updated numbers here. In Flathead County, Zinke got 64% of the vote to Monica Trinnell's 33%. So that's those big numbers that came in. And I'm looking at the Secretary of State website right now. Zinke with 53% of the vote to Trinnell's 44%. That is a massive victory by Ryan Zinke in that Western
huge. I mean, huge, huge, huge victory. I mean, you go back and you look, and I don't the outside spending that came in the last 3 weeks month of that race. I mean, the Democrats had convinced themselves that they were going to flip that seat, you know, and that was going to be part of their path to a majority in Congress. And they were just dumping millions and millions of dollars into that seat. But, you know, to their credit, I mean, the Zinke team, Heather Switch, his campaign manager, they ran an amazing race. Ryan showed up and did the work. You know, they had people, you know, canvassers from across the country coming in to help in that district over the month of October. I think they had something like 200 people from across the country, young Republicans, you know, people coming back from the Hill, going door to door and canvassing, you know, all throughout that district. And I think what it shows there, and I, you know, be interesting to parse the data a little bit more, but what they were successful in doing is turning out those low propensity Republicans. You don't get numbers like this if you don't get those lower propensity, you know, those people that don't necessarily vote in every election. Maybe they haven't voted in a couple, two, three elections. Like when you turn those people out, this is the kind of numbers that we get for Republicans.
We're talking about people who agree with us, who share our passion for this country and American ideals, but for whatever reason, they just have never voted or only vote on occasion. Those of you that came out, you're what helped pull all of this across the finish line. I'm glad, too, that this was such a massive, resounding victory for President Trump, for Montana conservatives, that it says a clear mandate out here. With all the shenanigans that have been going on in the country.
Right, yeah, I mean, you know, maybe now we will be finally done with these rapacious scumbags like Mark Roscoe that want to come in and lecture all of us. You know, Roscoe's been telling us all how terrible we are. Like, you know, you can't vote for Trump, you can't vote for Tim Sheehy. You know, he's out be endorsing every Democrat. He endorsed a Democrat in the clerk of Supreme Court race.
Yeah.
You know, this is a guy, he wants, like, Democrats want to hold him off like some big hero. Like, let's not let history get away from us here. Like, his two greatest accomplishments were he had a failed bid for a statewide sales tax and energy deregulation. You know, he won a big margin in his reelect because his opponent died. And then he immediately left Montana. You know, I guess the only claim to fame was he's friends with President Bush, went to work lobbying for Enron.
And lines his pockets,
you know, makes millions of dollars, was the highest paid lobbyist in the country running the insurance association. And then he wants to come back here and lecture all of us, you know, about honor and integrity. And it's like, you lobbied for the biggest corporate fraud in the history of the world, and you have the audacity to come back and say that you lack honor and integrity if you're willing to vote for Donald Trump or Austin Knutson or Greg Jean Forte or Tim Shee. Like, maybe these guys will finally go away now.
Yeah, John Jackson, I know that's music to your ears. Look at these never-Trumpers and these backstabbers that used to once call themselves Republicans that were willing to throw our future and this entire country under the bus. I mean, we've been on the brink of World War III because of this failure in Washington right now. And they were willing to say, no big deal. And that's why I love this joke on X that Tim and Savage shared early this morning about, hey, Liz Cheney just got her deployment orders to Afghanistan.
I'm writing down that word. I'm glad Jake is bringing back that word rapacious, because I'm writing that down and I'm putting that right into my vocabulary. But it's good that you're bringing out these Bushies, and that's who he is. That's who Roscoe is. And I challenge anybody out there to show me a Bushie, anybody that was in national Republican politics prior to 2008. If they're still around today, show me one decent one. You can't find one.
Jake, I also want to ask you about the ballot initiatives, because I got to say, hats off to the Montana GOP. And I know Senator Steve Daines was influential behind the scenes. A lot of people didn't know about this because he couldn't necessarily come out and tell you what his strategy was, because he was winning these Senate races across the country. But I know he helped get an effort going to stop CI-126, because the polling told us that we could stop it, that we could actually stop that one.
Yeah, I mean, this was really one that kind of came together late. Thanks to Senator Daines and Governor Gianforte, we were able to put together an effort, you know, and it's a great one that, you know, to talk about some of these folks, you know, supporting 126. I mean, Frank Garner and Rob Cook. I don't have a big enough vocabulary to say enough bad things about those guys. But, you know, they lit over $20 million on fire supporting this terrible, terrible ballot initiative.
Mark Roscoe, Paul Graham on X just told me Mark Roscoe was shilling for some.
Oh, yeah. No, everybody was, you know, and they had, you know, they hired Jesse Binion to go around and try to convince chambers of commerce to endorse this thing. You know, they're just throwing all this money at people, you know, paying gigantic retainers, and it's all for nothing, because it turns out when you have bad ideas, it doesn't matter how much money you have. You can't sell them to people in Montana.
You know, we were talking with one friend messaged me yesterday, and she said, I don't know what I want more, John Tester to lose or Tim Sheehy to win. I want the entire freaking cabal that is profiting off of John Tester, these left-wing enviro groups and everybody. I want all of them, that entire network, to lose, to pack their bags and get the heck out of Montana.
I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute. A woman convicted of dressing as a clown and murdering her now husband's wife is out of prison less than 2 years after taking a plea deal. Back in 1990, a clown showed up to the home of 40-year-old Marlene Warren, handing her a balloon and flowers before shooting her in the face. For years, authorities suspected Sheila Keen Warren, then 26, who was having an affair with Marlene's husband, Michael Warren, but said they didn't have enough evidence at the time to convict her. Michael and Sheila married in Las Vegas in 2002. In 2014, the murder case was reopened, and in 2017, Sheila Keen Warren was arrested. In April of 2023, the now 61-year-old took a plea deal, pleading guilty to second-degree murder, and was sentenced to 12 years in prison. She was released last weekend, 18 months after her conviction, thanks to credit for time served and good behavior. Despite her plea deal, she has maintained her innocence. There's more on the story at foxnews.com. Subscribe to the Fox True Crime Podcast with Emily Campagno. I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Congress returns to session next week for the lame duck session. And unless the upcoming lame duck is remarkably productive, the current Congress may be a relative bust. It's on track to produce fewer laws than the previous Congress. Congressional output, as measured by the sheer number of bills passed, has trended downward across the decades. The average dropped from around 828 bills per two-year meeting in the 1950s to less than half of that, merely 355, across the last five full Congresses. The productivity drop-off can't be blamed on a lack of proposals. In the House alone, for example, members have introduced more than 10,000 bills for the first time since the Carter administration. So what's teed up in the lame duck? A bill to fund disaster relief, a renewal of the Farm Bill, the annual defense policy bill, and the sides must fund the government by December 20th. The last lame duck in 2022 saw 148 items signed into law, which totaled just over 4,000 pages of legislative text. And most of the text came from just two bills alone. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
If you love them enough to turn off your music and pretend like their music is your music.
Ah, this is Mommy's jam.
Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're in the right car seat.
Let's play again.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
And you guys got to see Jeremy Carl. He's got his Montana for Trump hat on right now. Jeremy Carl, a senior fellow with the Claremont Institute, lives here in Bozeman. Jeremy, I know what Jake Eaton was just saying was like music to your ears. In fact, some of our listeners have messaged here, and they're, who was it here? Somebody asked a question. Oh, Doc in Great Falls. Given the results, will this discourage out-of-state funding? Obviously, there's some mixed results on the out-of-state funding with the ballot initiatives. Unfortunately, the massive money, the deceptive language for CI 128 got that across the finish line. But a Republican sweep in the partisan races, the statewide races, Tim Sheehy elected, Donald J. Trump elected. What an incredible night on that front.
Absolutely. And I think, Aaron, you're right, and it just points out the importance of us. I think we had a huge failure in the last legislative session in not making all of these judicial races partisan races. They are partisan. We need to acknowledge that. Doesn't mean that I want a judge to rule some way just because he's a registered Republican, but it does make a difference, and we need to be honest about that. And I think the good news, and one of the reasons, I mean, there were many, many reasons why all of us, I think, were desperate to get rid of Tester, who was the biggest fraud in the United States Senate and the biggest fraud perpetrated on Montana. But I think part of it for me was to discourage them, you know, just to make them realize, yeah, pack your bags, as you were saying in the last segment.
Well, you and I talked about that. Remember when the New York Times and the Washington Post, and they'd come to Montana and they'd write some hit piece trashing Montana, saying how bad and awful Montanans are. And you and I are like, yes.
Exactly.
Yes. Yes, New York Times, tell your readers how awful Montana is so they stay the heck out of here.
Exactly.
I think also this is the election results here are proof that yes, Montana is now a reliably red state. And I think many of us are hopeful, just like what Jake said and just like what some of our listeners are saying, is that like these out-of-state environmental groups that have been camped out here, you know, shutting down the timber industry, these liberal federal judges, get the heck out of here. Your money's no good here. Pack your bags and get out.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely what's going to happen. And I think for anything that's prominent now, I don't think, you know, as long as Sheehy comes in and takes care of business, I don't think either Sheehy or Daines are going to have serious challengers going forward, because this is a conservative state. We've elected some, conservative senators who are also that are out there like saying crazy stuff where you can run 50,000 attack ads against them. And, you know, I think that it'll discourage the Democrats from organizing. They've already gerrymandered the congressional districts as much as they can, but it still looks like Zinke is going to win by like 9 points there, even in a gerrymandered district against him. So I just think it's the end of the road. I want these leftists packing their bags and moving somewhere else because we don't need them in Montana.
Yeah, John Jackson, your thoughts back in the Montana Talk studios as I'm broadcasting live from the Rock and R in Bozeman. I mean, we've talked about this, too. This is not only a major loss for Liberal Senator John Tester and for the Democrats in Montana, but this is a major loss for the media because the media in Montana went so in the tank for John Tester. It was shameful the way they covered this Senate race in particular. But let's be honest, they're going to have biased coverage of the legislative session coming up in January, too.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead, John.
Yeah, I got to push back on that, what you just said there for a minute. You know, there's not going to be any serious challengers because I just hear breaking news. Daines might be in a little trouble here for his reelection campaign because Fussy Bussy has just announced he is going to be going for that seat. So look out, Senator Daines.
You're joking, right?
Yes, I'm joking.
Okay, all right. Because with Fussy Bussy, you just never know. I mean, you know.
But what you
got to envy an ego like that.
Your guest said a minute ago about the judges, I think 20 years ago, we all of us had that feeling that we just want our judges to rule on the law. But see, here we are in 2024, and that philosophy is over because all of their judges here in Montana on the Supreme Court rule on their partisan politics. And the only way we fight that is if our guys do the same thing. I want to vote for judges who are going to go up there and vote the right way, just like their guys do.
So the good news and the bad news, some of you are probably wondering if you're just joining us, what happened with the Sons of Montana for Supreme Court? Good news for Corey Swanson, the Iraq War veteran and Broadwater County attorney. He is elected Chief Justice of the Montana Supreme Court, defeating Jeremiah Lynch. Right now, he's got 54% of the vote to Lynch's 46% of the vote. But unfortunately, Catherine Bidegary benefited from millions in out-of-state special interest money, so she came out on top of Judge Dan Wilson, who is just a remarkable judge in Flathead County. And so that one's, I know a lot of people are just, man. What? And that's the charge, I think, for conservatives here in Montana is, okay, what do we do for the next 2 years is how do we get a focused, organized effort to clean up the judiciary?
Absolutely. Number one problem. And, you know, we can have as great a legislature, as great a governor, as great an AG as we want. But as long as we have these corrupt judges who are just partisan Democratic political actors running things, we're going to have all the best stuff we do shot down. So we've got to fix that. It's good that we're at least adding one other seat on the Supreme Court, and it's the Chief Justice, and that matters. But we got to make these races, we got to make them clear that they are partisan races, which is what they are. That's why our state liberals are spending millions of dollars to prop up these Democrats. And we've got to sweep every single Democrat out of power so we get strict constructionist judges here in Montana.
Yeah, Greg and Big Fork sent us a message on the Montana Talks app. I'm very pleased with the top of the ticket, but I'm not too pleased with the bottom part. Apparently, 53% of Montanans still want to slaughter babies in some of these judge races I'm concerned with. But God bless America, says Greg in Big Fork. And then we got a funny message here. This was from Ryan in Billings. He goes by the nickname Crayon Eater, a great Marine Corps veteran. He says, is that a clap I hear in the background?
That's a clap, yeah.
Oh, that's great. He says, happy early birthday, Marines. J.D. Vance will be the highest-ranking Marine ever. and the additional clap from Jeremy Carl back here at the Rock and R as well. John, what else are you seeing on X or on Twitter? And then I'll throw the same thing to Jeremy Carl, because Jeremy Carl, he was like literally texting back and forth all day yesterday with none other than the Charlie Kirk. Who else gets to text back and forth with Charlie Kirk all day on election day, right? But, John, what else is standing out to you from X? Anything else out there? Montana elections, national stuff, or other news?
Well, I have got the absolute quote of the day, and it is from one of the Montana Talks listeners. It is Darth Revan from Billings, and it is the following. The red wave was so bad that not even Tampon Tim could plug it.
Oh, man, that's hilarious. Was he? Well, was he fumbling around with the shotgun? You know, that had the tampon ammo in it. You know, you saw those memes, right, where they had tampon Tim and he couldn't even shoot the shotgun right. One of the other big Jeremy Carl, yeah, your thoughts, same question that I just threw out to John, and now I can't even remember what it was because you know got the tampon Tim distraction. You know, like.
I mean, nationally, I think there's a lot of promising things going on. I think we have gotten a mandate. That's wonderful. I think the fact that Trump is likely to win the popular vote matters a lot. I was literally just texting with Charlie Kirk this morning. He thinks we still have a chance in Arizona for Lake.
Really?
Once all the votes come in.
Wow.
She's 2 points down, but I trust Charlie. I mean, again, I was going over
that gap considerably.
Yeah, I was going over those numbers last night. So our best numbers in Arizona are still going to be coming in. Senator Danis did a very good job running the National Republican Senatorial Committee. He won every race that we should have won. And that's not, I mean, if you know politics, it's actually an accomplishment to win every race that you should win because you're always going to get tripped up. He got all of our incumbents reelected. We picked up the 3 seats in the Trump state, including Montana. Plus, he got McCormick. That's not been called yet, but it's got to be called in Pennsylvania. And that was not one that we necessarily should have won. And I'm just hoping that between Sam Brown or Kerry Lake or a couple of these other Midwestern states, they were able to sneak in one more seat just so we can have a little bit more margin because we have some tough cycles coming up next. We want to build as much of a Senate majority as we can in that time.
It's so cool also to see we've got the rabbi himself, Bozeman Rabbi Chaim Bruck, in the house. Are you going to join us on the show, Rabbi? Was the first time a rabbi came to the bar? Wait, you can have some Shabbos, can't you? Can't you have some Shabbos? Just not in a bar. Okay. All right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, hopefully the rabbi will want to jump on the microphone here as well, because, you know, it's what a reminder of the challenges facing the world. And somebody else sent us a cautionary message. And Jeremy, this is something we also need to watch for. This lame duck period between now and January, man, our enemies may try to take advantage of this weakness in Washington. The swamp will definitely try to take advantage of the next,
right,
you know, couple of months, three months here as well.
Oh, absolutely. They'll do it legislatively. But I also just worry about President-elect Trump's safety. I mean, we've had 2 attempts on his life. What you saw in this election is that he's just a unique figure. And one of the things I'm really glad about in this election is it's dispelled one of the dumbest myths that you would hear from establishment Republicans, which is that Trump was somehow dragging down the ticket. What you saw, and that, you know, a generic Republican would have won much more. What you saw really, really definitively in every result is, no, Trump pulled a bunch of our guys over the line. He ran ahead of the ticket everywhere. And to the extent that we picked up a Senate seat like Pennsylvania, it's because people came out for Donald Trump.
Exactly.
And you know, we should be very, very thankful for that and not under the illusion that he's replicable. And I say that, I love J.D. Vance, you know, friends with his wife on Facebook. But I know his staffers really well, really, really psyched about him. Just thrilled to see what he's going to do as our vice president. But Donald Trump is not easily replaceable.
Yeah, no, and that's the thing. I fully believe there would have been more of a red wave in 2022 had Donald Trump been on the ballot. So that's up to every single one of these candidates who just won their elections. Prove that you're the fighter Donald Trump is, and they'll show up for you as well. John Jackson back in the studios. We're here broadcasting live from the Rockin' R in Bozeman. We never know who's going to show up, so especially as the sun starts to get a little higher.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Well, we got John Jackson back in studio. I think Jake Penwell wants to jump in on the conversation, plus Jeremy Carl here at the Rockin' R in Bozeman. And I mentioned our good friend, the rabbi, here with the synagogue in Bozeman, Rabbi Chaim Bruck. Rabbi, an honor to see you as always, my friend. Thank you so much for coming. What a blessing. The sun is shining upon us right now.
Yeah. The sun is shining, and I told my son before he went into middle school this morning, I said, listen, honey, whatever your friends are busy talking about politically, don't forget there's a big chunk of this country that woke up this morning very unhappy. Their candidate didn't win, and they deserve grace, and we need to, and the country needs to be humble, and those who won need to be humble in the process and always realize that you don't get anywhere with arrogance. You don't get anywhere with sticking your face into someone else's face and see, you know, I got you, or what did that guy say last night? Karma, you know, Dana White. you have to have humility. It's a very, very important character trait. And at the same time, I think there's a story that's not being told about this morning's results, and that to me is Jewish communities like Los Angeles, where that guy Gascon, the district attorney, who has turned a blind eye to everything that the Hamas supporters have been doing to the Jews in greater Los Angeles, on the campuses, at the synagogues, at the Jewish centers, he was booted out of office.
Right, that's great. I hadn't heard that news
by a
yet.
Big number.
Yeah.
He was booted out of office.
Gascon is out as the DA in L.A.
Big time. And so, to me, if you're going to sit and let a year and a half, for a year and a half, you're going to let Jews duck and have to hide in Los Angeles, California, a place that is the second largest Jewish community in the United States outside of New York, there has to be a price to pay. You know, we as Americans, I always believe that this country would be a place that's safe for my children for all eternity. You know, in Judaism, we believe in the coming of the Messiah. I know Christianity believes that too. And then we'll all go to Israel. But until that time, I want this country to be a safe place for them. And a guy like Gascon, not stopping these kafir-wrapped, masked face, you don't know who they are, what they're up to, but they're threatening and they're coming in your face as Jews. This is America, 2024. So I'm happy for the Jews of Los Angeles today. I don't follow all the DA races, only the ones that are really bad for the Jews. And so I don't even know the guy's name who won.
What about the Jewish vote, though, just in general across the country? Because, I mean, the black vote for Trump was huge in Pennsylvania. The last number I saw was 18%. It may be lower, maybe higher. I don't know what the latest number is. The Latino vote, he was double digits, doing very well with the Latino vote. But I understand he was doing very well with the Jew. In fact, Jeremy Carl was kind of saying, I think he was seeing some results out of New York even. And then that filters into Pennsylvania and elsewhere.
So I'm not a political pundit, but yeah. I will say that I think Israel is obviously first and foremost on Jewish people's minds. When you have people that are, you know, toying with words like we may not send weapons, you know, we'll make an embargo on weapons to Israel, that doesn't really help with the Jewish vote. I think in places like New York, the crime, and I don't know if you follow that because you live in Billings and I live in Bozeman, but I have a sister that lives in Brooklyn. I have a brother that lives in Rockland County, New York, and the crime and the anti-Jewish stuff that's been going on there, similar to Los Angeles, is out of control. So I think people just showed up and said, you know, we're going to vote for whatever is different than this. And so I don't know how ideological it is or philosophical it is. I'm not the expert in that, but I do know that people just want to change. And I think if people don't realize that there's a struggling society, you know, I told Jake before that someone asked me at my dinner table on Shabbos this past Friday night, Rabbi, what do you think about women's reproductive rights? I said, these are all very valuable conversations, but you can't ask a Jew in 2024 to discuss reproductive rights or property taxes or all these other things when I don't know if I'm going to live because there's people that want to kill me. Right? Because I'm not alive, my property taxes and any rights, including reproductive rights, aren't relevant. So I think there's a lot of Jews, especially in the big cities, that were just scared. I mean, the reality is that I know we could joke about it all we want because in Montana we're armed and we can protect ourselves to some degree. But in these big cities, they're not armed for the most part. There are people running in the streets saying the most Nazi-like, anti-Jewish stuff. It's not about Zionism anymore. And I think there was a response to that. I think there was an innate response.
And I think one of the biggest issues was I was talking with a mom. She's got a son in the Navy last night. She said her son was singing, okay, it might be there was a huge swath of this country that literally felt we are on the brink of World War III because we haven't stood as strongly alongside Israel as we should. And they want to see the peace that Donald Trump helped bring, the Abraham Accords, where you saw these historic peace agreements between Israel and all these Arab countries, and they want to see that process restored once again.
And I think to me what stands out, and I know it sounds ironic, but the two biggest supporters of Israel since October 7th are Bill and Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton was on The View right after October 7th, and when they tried to get her to say things against Israel, she's like, what are you talking about? There was a ceasefire on October 6th. The ones that broke the ceasefire were not Israel, it was the Arab terrorists. And Bill Clinton, just this week, or maybe last week in Michigan, was speaking in Michigan, which has a very large Muslim population, Arab population. He said, but I mean, I was the one that was trying to broker the deal. And we offered Arafat three-quarters of Israel, whatever the numbers were, 60%. Yeah. And he didn't accept it because he didn't want a solution.
He wanted
the ongoing war so they can claim that they're victims.
They can profit off the struggle. Yeah,
I am
yeah.
so tired of hearing the word innocent Palestinians. It is the most annoying thing to hear as a Jew. If they're so innocent and they're such sweethearts, then why on October 7th, sure, there was 3,000, 4,000 Hamas terrorists. Why were the average, quote-unquote, innocent Palestinians rampaging Israeli kibbutzim and attacking Jews and raping women and beheading children? That's just a fact.
And where were all these college campus protesters to condemn that? But, oh, they so quickly show up to to then condemn Israel for defending themselves. Rabbi, such an honor to see you. Thanks
great
for
see
calming
you.
Down.
Get some sleep.
Also worth pointing, eventually I will. Eventually, I got 2 hours, so I'm all right. Yeah. But, yeah, I think it's also interesting that these politicians who waffled on Israel didn't have a good night last night either. So
this week's Torah portion says, God tells Abraham, those who bless the Jews will be blessed, and those that curse us will be cursed. That's what it says in the book of Genesis. I don't speak to particular people, but it's a message going forward. You mess with the Jews... God messes with you.
My Christian pastor shares the same message. All right. Well, God bless you. So good to see you, Rabbi. All right. Jake Penwell back in studio with the Joker. Jake, man, what did you want to jump in on here?
You know, I just had a couple of things. One thing that I was thinking about, I had a vision in my head just kind of an analogy. You know, the different demographics of voters that came out of the woodwork. And, you know, I was thinking of this image. I don't know if you remember Lord of the Rings, that movie. Where at one point during Lord of the Rings, the trees came alive and started coming out of the woods, right? And they just started walking in and they just took over. Well, I couldn't help when I saw the Amish and the Hutterites come out. I'm like, oh man, that image just started popping into my head. I'm like, it just these different demographics of voters that came out in full support. That was hilarious. But the new lows that the Democrats come into every year, you know, you hear Michelle Obama say, when they go low, we're going to go high. But every year they sink lower and find new lows. But look what they did with Sheehy. Not only did they attack him personally and then also attack his family, but then they started, Aaron, you've highlighted this very well. They attacked his business. And that doesn't just hurt him. That hurts. It's an employee-owned business.
That's right. It'll hurt Gallatin County. It hurts the veterans that work for
today.
Him across the board.
And guess what happened today? Right when the market opened, up 17%. Now, I don't know where it is right now. I think it's right.
Is that Bridger Aerospace or are you talking about the markets?
Bridger Aerospace, up 17%.
Really?
Yeah, I should have been a little more specific than that. But yeah, Bridger Aerospace, it's been suffering a little bit just because of this whole political process, which is unfortunate.
Because the Democrats have been trying to tear it down so they can call him a failed businessman. But yeah, their stocks are up now. That's not going to be good news for that Mark Cohodes guy, that left-wing, you know, Elizabeth Warren backer here in the Gallatin Valley who was jumping in on the trash effort there. What a great point there, Jake. Yeah. John Jackson, your thoughts. You've been sitting in the background a few minutes now as well.
Oh, the rabbi loved his stuff. I mean, he knocked that out of the park. You can tell the man he knows exactly what he's talking about. And I wanted to echo that, what he was talking about, the ceasefire. See, it's way worse than he said because they didn't just break the ceasefire on October 7th. They broke the one before that and the one before that and the one before that and the one before that. Okay, they have been doing this for years. And finally, we had a guy like Bibi Netanyahu who said, enough is enough. And we're just going forward with this all the way. And the rabbi also talked about, I have to push back on the rabbi a little bit. I know he's a man of God and he wants us to have humility today and grace. But I tell you, Aaron, I keep thinking about an eye for an eye. That's my philosophy.
Well, let's see. We got a message here from Jeremy Migland. He says, I just wanted to say I noticed a couple of interesting things. If you look at statewide races, most all the Democrats were extremely consistent at 38%-ish. It shows the divide in our state when the left gets their base and no independents. This was a very clear message to me. We don't want your woke agenda here. Second thing is, the day after the national race, the stock market absolutely soars. The Fed's meet and are talking about dropping the interest rate sooner than expected. This is a very clear message about our economy and the faith people had in Bidenomics compared to America First policy. I'm going to see if Jake Eaton will jump back on the microphone here with just a quick few minutes left that we have this 8 o'clock hour of the show. I think Governor Greg Gianforte is going to join us for part of the 9 o'clock hour. We should have pollster Eric Iverson dropping by as well, so that's going to be fascinating to get his insight on what he said was going to happen and what ended up happening. And then who knows who else might drop by. It was a very late night for everybody out there. You know, because the media just did not want to call the race, even though it was obvious that the Republicans had a massive victory earlier on in the night. All right, back right after this, live from the Rockin' R in Bozeman.
The truth and nothing but. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
You know, it is amazing when you think about how people react
to elections and how passionate everybody gets. Why do we get passionate about elections? Because they matter. I mean, you know, when you have the biggest choice election in your lifetime, at least from my perspective and my point of view and my vantage point, and it's a matter of open borders, closed borders, law and order, defund, dismantle, no bail, you know, lower gas prices, energy dominance versus, you know, energy restriction and crazy. If you want capitalism versus new Green Deal-ism, it is an amazing difference of opinion. And it's inexplicable at times to so many. And I completely understand why.
Keeping you on the straight path. Later today, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
Hey, if you served our country or communities, there are massive benefits waiting for you. That's right, current and former military, law enforcement, first responders, teachers. You qualify for a free membership at GovX. That's G-O-V-X. They are the largest online marketplace exclusively for those people that serve. Right now, you'll save up to 40% off the most desirable brands, Ray-Ban, Oakley, Yeti, Stanley, North Face. Save up to 40% off cruises, hotels, theme parks, concerts, even sporting events. If you want to save, you need GovX, and you join 9 million other members who are saving millions of dollars on their favorite brands every month. Go to GovX.com. Use the promo code Sean, S-E-A-N. You'll get an additional $15 off your first purchase. The sign-up is absolutely free, no membership fee. Go to GovX.com, promo code Sean, S-E-A-N, GovX, savings for those who serve.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
What is the right way to think about how artificial intelligence, AI, will affect the economy in the coming years? Is AI just another item on the menu of choices we have in how we do things, like ketchup or mustard on our hamburgers, or does it rip the menu to shreds? There are many people and many companies working very hard today to get ahead of that question. They already understand what most of us don't, that the ability of machines to learn how to assimilate information, to learn how to do things, and even to learn how to create, holds the promise of being a game changer for so many tasks and functions. With every month, a new dimension of this revolutionary development is revealed, machines teaching machines being just the latest. Practical applications are already widespread. AI presents a whole new way of understanding what kinds of skills are needed for your jobs, simply by digesting what you do. And it holds the promise of doing the same for job candidates, getting past the cliches of job resumes to suggest the best matches among thousands of applicants. I'm Patrick Barkey.
406-201-6263.
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, make sure you're following John Jackson the Joker on X, x.com/PVTJokerUS, and then x.com/Aaron Flint. I've just retweeted some photos. Jeremy Carl got some photos of him and us down here at the Rockin' R. So if you want to see some photos, check it out, x.com/Aaron Flint. Jake Eaton back on the microphone here. Jake, what else do you want to tell our listeners before we get to the 9 o'clock hour of the show?
Well, you know, I think one of the big stories of the kind of last week or so, 10 days of this race, actually started with you, Aaron. You know, you were the first one to break, you know, these sheriffs coming out and calling out the tester campaign, you know, for just outright lying about funding that they had provided for law enforcement across the state. And it started with you, you know, posting something from the county sheriff in Roosevelt County. I think there was like finally 10 or 12 that came out against him, you know, calling out these blatant lies. And then here we had, you know, TV stations in Montana running the tester defense. It was like, oh, yeah. Well, I mean, if we look at it, you know, through this, you know, other viewpoint,
and
we
cover fire say that,
you
lied.
Know,
yeah.
You know, tried just to contort and distort everything to cover up for Kester. I think the Montana media has a lot of self-reflection to do. I mean, they've really just been, the last month, just in full-blown Kester protection mode. You know, and not all these people are bad folks. Some of them really are. I mean, some of them are pretty terrible. But, you know, I think a lot of them just got caught up and they, you know, they're, frankly,
their own political bias.
Right. Their own bias got the best of them, and they, you know, abandoned that, you know, professional integrity in order to try to defend Tester. And, you know, we saw it across multiple outlets, you know, over and over again this last month. And so, you know, I would like to think that now that we're past this and these biases have been exposed, that maybe we see a little self-reflection and change in how they're covering people, how they're the issues that they're choosing not to cover and cover.
Because they had biased coverage during the last legislative session against the Republicans. It was clear to see it, but nowhere was it as clear as it's been in the Sheehy Test race how biased and bad their coverage was. They were just straight up lying to their viewers.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you had MTN, right? They came out and called an ad from Senate Leadership Fund, ran a fact check on it, said it's a lie. They didn't give the money back, right? They took the money and ran the ad,
yeah.
You know, despite their, you know, FCC mandate. They can't do that.
And then you read the story, and in their own story, it actually says, oh, no, actually, the Republicans are right. It's true, but they didn't want to put that in the top of the story.
I mean, yes, it's pretty gross.
Jake, I hope you can stick around for the 9 o'clock hour as well. I think Eric Iverson's going to drop by. We got the governor and more. Want to give Right on John a chance to be heard on the radio. Right on John, thanks for dropping in. What do you want to tell our listeners?
Well, a few things. Hey, JJ and Travis. I made it. I was really disappointed. And you can hear me well? Okay, I was really disappointed in the numbers. I would have thought that the Republicans would have, based on the economy, would have had a larger spread for there. And I haven't met Tim Sheehy yet, but I'm really glad my buddy Greg Gioforte and Steve Daines and all those boys it got back in.
Had a big night. Though the Republicans had big numbers in a big night, as bad as things have been over the last 4 years, you thought it could have been even bigger.
Yes. Yes. And I actually got a tear when I woke up at 5 o'clock this morning.
And you saw the news, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. Yeah, my mom even called me. She said, wow. I mean, it was just like a weight was lifted off her shoulders. I know that's how so many people feel with President Donald J. Trump and so much more. All right, we'll be back from the Rock and R in the 9 o'clock hour after this.
Did you receive a call or message that mentioned Social Security and demanded immediate action? Did the caller know your Social Security number or other personal information and tell you that your Social Security number had been used in connection with a crime? Did you feel worried that your Social Security number might be suspended, your bank account might be frozen or seized, or you could be arrested? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, demand your personal information or instant payment, email or text you pictures or documents, or use a real government official's name to gain your trust. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Do not be fooled. Hang up. Ignore them. Report this criminal activity to the Social Security Administration Office of the Inspector General at oig.ssa.gov.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.